The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
We are in a lockdown, not a lock-in, but more and more of us are turning to drink, apparently, during this difficult time. We're starting earlier in the week and sometimes even earlier in the day. So when did these habits become a problem? Well, Nicola Perry, Director of Community Response, which is a HSE-funded service for people with addiction problems, and she joins us now. Good morning, Nicola.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. How are you? Are you all safe and well? Everything good in your little world?
Everything's good, like a lot of people, on lockdown. And just to say as an aside, Mark, ABBA Gold was the first album I ever bought. So I'm totally with you there.
Well, no, it's funny, you know, when you think about these things, you have to put your own personal tastes aside and just think of something that would do it for everybody. And ABBA Gold would do it for everybody, because I defy you to resist the tunes or humming along or tapping your toe or whatever. There's a few others as well, too. Graceland by Paul Simon would probably do it as well.
But absolutely.
OK, to more serious matters. And it is interesting, we're starting with the supposition that because people are locked in, people are actually drinking more. And of course, my immediate reaction is, well, where's the evidence to back that up? But coincidentally, we had a texter earlier on this morning who's living in and around the Coombe area and was asking about an off licence there and said that there are now traffic jams in his area going up to that off licence. And he said you could count the cars going and picking up in hundreds. So therefore, anecdotal evidence would certainly support the theory that people are drinking more.
Well, yeah, I actually heard that point from your text earlier, Mark. And I think, funnily enough, where I work in community response is probably a stone's throw from that off licence, because we're based in the Liberties. And their point that they made about off licences being deemed as essential probably speaks volumes to, you know, our position on why we wrote this article about turning to alcohol at the moment. Because COVID-19 is so new, as lots of people have talked about already, we're not going to have the scientific evidence to hand to say people are turning to drink. But what we do know from research and science is that about 50% of adults in the Irish society will say that they turn to alcohol when they're trying to cope with stress. And I don't think there are many of us right now who could say we don't feel either anxiety, stress, feeling overwhelmed right now. I mean, the situation we find ourselves in is just unprecedented.
I don't drink myself, so I have to put my hand up here. And I have a very peculiar attitude to alcohol. I don't get why people love it as much as they do. Yeah, having been in the entertainment and the music business for donkey's years, I was on the receiving end of the effects of it. You know, people getting drunk and doing, you know, making eejits of themselves or being cranky or getting violent or getting sick or whatever. It has very unpleasant connotations for me. But leaving that aside, if you're depressed, if you're anxious and you're worried and you decide drink is the answer, surely you must know enough to know that drink is actually a depressant. So whatever worries or anxieties you have are actually going to be made worse by the drink, not better.
Well, exactly what you said is 100% true. And, you know, for us working in this daily and, you know, seeing, I guess, at the more extreme end of alcohol problems, you certainly would be far from thinking that people are enjoying any aspect of it. And, yeah, of course, you're totally correct. Alcohol is a depressant. I think the confusion is that alcohol is... It's so accepted and it's so part of our culture, of our society, that it's tied in. It's like there's a symbiotic relationship between how we do things, how we celebrate, how we commiserate, you know, how we mark occasions. We drink. And it's and again, a lot of research would show that in the Irish population, there's a real complacency around alcohol. Like the majority of people, over 80% of people who would acknowledge that they drink alcohol, say on a weekly basis, would not think for 1 minute that they drink too much. You know, there's a real normalization of how we drink here.
Okay, so given that any information that you have about what's going on now would be anecdotal at best. What kinds or sorts of habits are we seeing in as much as you can gauge them?
To give a concrete example of that, I was talking to some people the other day, and as I said, when I'm talking about this, I'm not talking about people who identify as problem drinkers in any way, shape or form. I'm talking about general population. Because of the lockdown, some people were telling me the other day that they were a married couple, that they realised, and it was from them, it was inadvertent, that out of the previous 14 days, they had drank alcohol on 13 of them.
Wow.
And they hadn't drank, in their words, they hadn't drank excessively. They hadn't felt that they were drunk. They didn't feel their behaviours had particularly changed, although in light of what we just said about it being a depressant, that may be a bit questionable. But the reason that they had moved to that was because of some of the things that I think we mentioned in the article, in terms of people aren't worried about drink driving. People might have not quite such a rigid time to get up. You know, when you come in from work, the 6 or 7 o'clock glass of wine has maybe turned into the 4 or 5 o'clock glass of wine. You know, little shifts, little small shifts in behaviour that are just allowing for, an increased consumption and more frequent consumption. So we're looking at quality and quantity and frequency.
And of course, human nature being what it is, when you tell people that they can't do something, that's exactly what they want to do, even if they weren't that bothered about it before you told them they couldn't do it. We're very perverse human beings. Now, the other thing too as well is that people are likely maybe to have a different drink at home. You know, they're maybe more likely to drink wine or whatever, and maybe wine doesn't get treated as seriously as other forms of alcohol. Is that a danger?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of home drinking dangers that are well documented, you know, prior to the COVID-19 situation, in terms of people tend to free pour, or i.e. if you're drinking in a pub or a restaurant, you know, you're getting a fixed measurement. When you're at home, you're just pouring. People have more of a tendency to say the glass is half full, no pun intended, and they top it up before you finish. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of difficult to keep a track on how much you're drinking. I suppose there's another factor about lots of people simply don't know what safe drinking guidelines are. So, you know, you're sitting at home, you're comfortable, you feel you deserve it. You know, we're all having a tough time. It's all feeling a bit stressful. Have a few drinks. It's cheaper at home. It's easily accessible. And you've got someone, you've just got to go into the kitchen to get the bottle. It's not too much hassle. You know, we like things that are easy.
We do indeed. Now, you know, there's people listening to this and they're going, oh, for God's sake, look, things are bad enough without you trying to take the joy away of the, you know, the few drinks that we might have at home. So what harm are we doing? But something you need to bear in mind, and this is backed up by the scientific evidence, and you correct me if I'm wrong, is that it only takes 7 days to make or indeed break a habit. So, for example, if you're doing this, and we could be locked down for another 2 weeks, 3 weeks, possibly to the end of April, maybe into May. If you're having a drink every day, even if it's only one or two glasses, that habit will be well and truly cemented by the end of this lockdown period.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, again, as we always know, I mean, sure, research and science changes depending on what you're looking for, and you can usually find something that backs up your point anyway. I think the more key thing about how long a habit takes is that habits are formed, and they can be formed really quickly. And the more you do something, which I always think is a fascinating point, the more easier it becomes to do. So you're like in a position where if I do the same thing at the same time every day, say it's a positive thing like having a glass of water or taking some exercise, that will become easier for me because it's taking less mental effort to make myself do it because it has become a habit. So if that habit is something that isn't as good for me or can have health or physical mental health effects and I'm doing that, I'm doing it a little bit mindlessly, as in the opposite of mindful. So it's this sort of subconscious automatic behavior. I'm just picking a drink up, I'm having it. Maybe right now in this situation with this lockdown, with these stresses and strains we're facing, that, you know, that's okay in some ways. But then when I'm reverting, because we will come through this, I mean, nobody knows when or what, you know, what our new normal will look like, but we will come through this and we will revert to some form of normality. all we were saying to people, and I totally hear what you're saying about this, probably lots of people going, oh, for heaven's sake, there's someone else coming on telling us things we can't do. We're not saying don't do things. We're not the fun police. We're saying if you are doing them, just be aware.
Be aware
that there
of the,
are risks involved.
Of the risks. And look, we've said it's a depressant. Depressants automatically or by extension lower your immune system, which means that you're more likely to pick something up. And obviously we all know the long-term effect of, you know, of drinking on a very regular basis. But there's another effect that you may not be aware of, because when you socialise and you drink, you're normally doing it with other adults. This is being done at home, which means that your children are seeing it. Now, if they see it when they're growing up, they're more likely to be it when they're an adult.
Yeah, again, research would show that the earlier exposure children have to alcohol, the more likely they are to potentially have issues with alcohol when they're adults. I suppose, again, and you know, this is a very sensitive ground in terms of being, you know, the voice of the nanny state telling people what they can and can't do. And what we're talking about is not so much the serious drinking that is causing serious harm to children, which is unfortunately a big issue in Ireland as well. But we're talking more about exactly what you said there. Children, particularly younger children, they model what their parents do. So we're not talking about the modelling having a drink or picking up a glass of wine. What we're talking about is them seeing their parents using alcohol as a tool to cope with strains and stresses.
It's the insidious, you know, normalising behaviour that actually makes it so dangerous, isn't it?
Exactly. And I think Ireland has a just such a long history of alcohol use being normalised, as you say, being accepted and being so present in our day-to-day life. And what we, you know, when all of us look back to our childhood, whether they were good, bad, indifferent, at that time we thought that was normal because that was the only thing we had to as our frame of reference, really.
Okay, listen, Nicola, thank you. Salutary and sensible advice and something to think about. That's Nicola Perry, Director of Community Response, which is a HSE funded service for people with addiction problems. Thank you so much. And by the way.